This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons continues here on WEEI. Jason Tatum last night after a 132-109 victory. It was never close. John, look, it was enjoyable last night seeing Banner A-team go up and everything and so forth, but so did 61 three-point shots. I don't think we'll see that again. We shouldn't.
No, I think 16 of them were like midway to late through the fourth quarter, so at that point the game was out of reach anyway. I think we'll see 45 to 50, though, on a nightly basis. And as we talked about last night, last year the Celtics, when they shot the same amount or more threes than their opponent, they were 54-7. So I know people that are over the age of 45 think this is not the right way to play basketball. Not everyone, but it does work nowadays.
Well, I mean, it does feel a bit WNBA-ish. I'll just call it.
I don't think it does.
It's a bit WNBA-ish.
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
I mean, how many people dunk in the WNBA? Like how many people dunk? How many people dunk last night? How many dunks? I guess that was also them taking
what the Knicks gave them to. It felt like the Knicks made a concerted effort.
Offended by the WNBA comment.
I'm not. I'm talking about the Knicks. It felt like the Knicks made a concerted effort to clog the lane because they didn't want Tatum and Brown slashing through and dunking on everyone, and it left a bunch of open threes, and the Celtics took it.
So it's enjoyable. You know, well, they say you live by the three and you die by the three. So the idea is, when does the deaths happen, and do they happen at the wrong time, right? So this may be all great and everything going on right now, but if they have an off night on the wrong night or a series of nights, what is the conversation going to be? They take too many damn threes. That is just my concern, that while this is great happening, the way it happened last night, showering threes. I mean, took 16 of them when the game was clearly out of reach. You're still chucking them up. What happens if it happens on the wrong night or series of nights where those shots aren't falling, what do you do?
It's a great question, and it's actually one I'm really not that worried about because we saw them in the finals last year and throughout most of the playoffs, right, when Tatum wasn't shooting well. He did other things, and it helped them win. When other guys had off nights, they were still able to win games. And look, they won games with barrages of three-pointers too. But on nights that they didn't shoot that well, they were still able to win some of those games. So the fact that they have that diversity in their game is key. If they only could shoot threes, then I would be worried. But they've shown, and of course, once Porzingis gets healthy, it'll be even a bigger thing, but they've shown to be able to hit twos, drive to the lane, hit threes, kind of mix things up in their game. And look, this is primarily going to be a three-point shooting team, right? That's what they've been the last 2 years or 3 years. That's what they're going to continue to be. But I think they've shown enough, especially in last year's playoff run, that if they aren't hitting threes, they can still find a way to win. And also, they're really good defensively, too, so that helps.
I think outside of the score last night, which is the most important stat, only four turnovers.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be, that's going to be the key, right? Now, if you're shooting a bunch of threes, pretty hard to turn the ball over. I'll give you that. But if there's one thing that sometimes has reared its ugly head about this team over the last couple of years has been the turnovers. So if I can continue to see low turnover numbers, then that tells me there's another level of discipline kind of going into this other room of the dojo, if you will, for them, where if they're a team that doesn't turn the ball over, then now you're not giving away the free points. So that's something that I'm going to keep an eye on, more so than how pretty the threes look or stuff like that. I want to make sure that this team is, when they do have to go to the lane, that there aren't turnovers happening, because that's sometimes been the Achilles heel where the Celtics have let teams back in the games by being sloppy with the ball. Sometimes you've seen it happen. You remember the third quarter woes sometimes that they would have. So I would expect this team to say, if we want to show even improvement on being this championship team that we are, we can show that we're not even giving our opponents any even chances to make any to benefit off of any of our mistakes.
And I think another stat to watch, so the Knicks outscored the Celtics 42-30 points in the paint, but the reason I bring that up is even despite all the threes they have, the Celtics at least kind of kept it in the ballpark points in the paint wise, which does, again, give me hope that on nights that their threes aren't falling, they'll be able to convert over to that. And if they're not turning the ball over, like you point out, and I think that's huge, that's going to help them run an extremely efficient offense. And let's not forget, they were, what, number one in the league in offensive rating last year, and they were number one or two in points per game. So this is already a great offense, but if they can be a little bit more efficient, turn the ball over a little bit less, then they'll be extremely hard for teams to beat.
All right, Celtics talk continues here on WEEI with KJ and Lyons, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Next, our buddy Justin Turpin, he's chirping in, right? Like he's got an old Motorola. Justin Turpin is next, checking in, but right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Find Mass Money. The Celtics raised Banner 18 to the rafters and kicked off the pursuit of Banner 19 with a statement 132-109 win over the Knicks last night. Jason Tatum led the way for the C's with 37 points and 10 rebounds. Jaylen Brown and Derek White were right behind him with 23 and 24 points respectively. They'll have the night off before heading down to the nation's capital to take on the Wizards tomorrow night. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. Bruins fell to the Predators 4-0 in Nashville last night, wrapping up a three-game road trip that saw the Bees go 1-1-1. They'll also have the night off before taking on the Dallas Stars back at the Garden tomorrow. Puck drop set for 7 p.m. In NFL news, the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs acquired wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins from the Tennessee Titans in exchange for a conditional fourth-round pick that could become a third. Also in MLB news, Netflix released their 2004 Red Sox documentary, The Comeback, today on the 20th anniversary of Game 1 of the 2004 World Series. And sadly, Dodgers legend Fernando Valenzuela has passed away. He was just 63 years old. Find Mass Money wants to help you enjoy the football season by helping you find money you didn't know you had. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It only takes 30 seconds to search your name. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports.
Read my lips.
KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Jason Tatum finishes last year in the playoffs shooting 28% from three. The talk in the summer is that he can't shoot. Is this what you expected, knowing the work he puts into his craft?
Yeah. I mean, I expect him to just stay right here and just continue to work on his game, continue to get better. And, you know, I'm proud of obviously the way he shot the ball, but more just how he dominated the game in all the areas and picked his spots really well, took the shots that he wanted. But, I mean, the guy just works hard every day, doesn't allow things to get in the way of what's most important. And that kind of showed tonight, and I expect him to have a great season. But it doesn't mean there won't be ups and downs. But I'm happy for him that, he got off to a great start.
KJ Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're about 20 minutes away from Would You Rather, More Likely To, Either Or, as Joe Mazzulla just kind of raving poetic about Jason Tatum, who is clearly on it. He might be Jason Bourne Tatum this year. I just think with everything that's happened leading up to where we are now, the start of this season, John, I think we're going to see something pretty incredible.
Yeah, I already started looking at tickets to November 6th just to see if he scores 100 points against Steve Kerr.
Bro, don't hump the desk while we're in the air. I'm just kidding.
Just to see if he scores 100 against Steve Kerr.
Well, he won't score 100 against Steve Kerr, but
right,
he might score 50. It might be, I think he'll go for, I don't know if he'll go for the 50 burger, because you forget, Jaylen Brown is going to want some of that. He's going to want a piece of some Steve Kerr as well.
They'll each score 93.7 points.
So the two of them could potentially, I think one goes for 40, another goes for 50, and they might score 130. But if that happens, Draymond Green might just make sure that a fight ensues before getting embarrassed like that. But then again, you find out, you know, that Sam Hauser might have something for him just out the left field. Bail. Welcome to the job. So that'd be interesting, November 6th. So let's bring in our very own WEEI's columnist and part of our staff here, Justin Turpin, a guy who I'm very proud of, almost like a doting father, except for I would have a boat, not he. But Justin, we've been talking Celtics, and we're saying, look, this is a team that is going to get the recognition that I think it fully deserves. Do you think they are still being underrepresented by the league?
I mean, the summer would say yes. If you look what happened in the summer, obviously with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the Olympics, and even in the survey with the NBA GM survey with Joe Mazzulla, he's ranking for in the top five for offense and defensive scheme, but doesn't get any votes for best coach in the league. So I think in a way they have been overlooked, but they're not really worried about the outside factors. They're just worried about taking care of what they can control and on every given night, and that's what they did last night.
Justin, do you sense any sort of a shift there, though? And the reason I ask that is because about 25 minutes ago, I watched three people at NBA Countdown, including Kendrick Perkins, all pick the Celtics to repeat as champs after what they saw last night. So coming off the win against Dallas in the NBA Finals and then demolishing the Knicks last night, do you sense any shift nationally that maybe the Celtics are going to start getting a little bit more respect and appreciation?
I think any team that wins a title should get respect and appreciation, especially a team like the Celtics, who we just saw over a course of 101 games, when you include the playoffs, outscored their opponents by over 1,000 points and just cruised their way to an NBA championship. And they're bringing back essentially the whole entire team. They didn't have any major losses. Obviously, O'Shea Brissett had a role, and it was a big role on this team in the grand scheme of things, that he played well. But it really wasn't that big of a role, you know what I mean? So this team is back literally what they had last year, and they picked up right where they left off. And they led by as many as 35, trailed for just 29 seconds, and they did what got them to where they were last year, last night. They played good defense. They dominated those margins, and they knocked down a whole bunch of threes. So they have the groundwork for success. And as long as they follow that, I mean, the sky's the limit for this team.
Justin, I'm thinking of now, as you're just talking about what's going on in the national narrative, I think part of it is because perceptively the Eastern Conference is the much weaker conference than the Western Conference. However, the Eastern Conference has the best basketball team in all of the NBA. Do you feel like because there's a lack of feeling like there's a lack of competition really coming from the East, like there's not like three or four teams that you can just rattle off in the East like you can in the West? Do you think that factors in a bit in terms of why the Celtics aren't being talked about? Almost like the kid who gets all A's never gets talked about as much as the one who gets C's?
It could certainly play in. I mean, they won the Eastern Conference by 14 games last year. They're on a completely different level than the rest of the conference. But it's kind of funny because there are good teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, you look at that New York team, I know they didn't look the part, and they have a long way to go if they want to be the contender and the challenger that they hope to be. But you look at teams like Cleveland, teams like Indiana, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, those are good teams. It's just they don't stand a chance against a team like Boston, who, like I said, won the conference by 14 games last year. They just ran through everybody, and it feels like it could be very similar to that as long as they continue to have this mindset that Joe Mazzulla instills in them. And I mean, they checked that box in game one.
So Justin, despite what all the people in New England wanted, me, you, and KJ are not going to get championship rings from the Celtics, but I do want to ask you,
I'll be careful, I can make a phone call.
You were at the Garden last night. What was the atmosphere like for that ring ceremony, the banner raising, all the stuff before the game? What was your sense of what it was like there?
It was incredible. And honestly, my favorite part of it was when they were kind of playing this video montage of how the Celtics were made. And then they made another video montage of how the Celtics got to where they are in winning the championship. And standing at midcourt watching that together was Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford. It was them three really having that moment. And I thought that was really cool. And then shortly after, the legends came through, guys like Bob Cousy, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen was there. I mean, that moment to see those three kind of get to take that in together, really, they've been through so much. I mean, it took them so long to get over the hump, and all the people that said they couldn't do it, they were finally able to just have that moment I thought that was really cool. So, and the atmosphere was great. I mean, they were the crowd was awesome. The banner going up was pretty cool. So it was a special night, and I can only imagine how those guys are feeling during the ceremony.
Okay, I hate to pay the big bad guy on the green team here, but Peyton Pritchard 1-for-10 last night. Are you concerned? Would there be a developing concern if Peyton Pritchard isn't able to knock down even 30% of those shots? Doesn't have to be all three, but seeing him being going 1-for-10 and knowing how key he's going to be in this defense of this title, some of these guys are going to need rest, and there's going to be a real dependency on Peyton Pritchard to pick up minutes and be able to hit shots. Do you think it's just the opening night jitters, or do you think there could be something there?
I think it was just a bad shooting night. We saw this guy across 5 postseason games knock down 23s. It was the most in the NBA over the preseason. So I don't think so at all. And it's funny, he actually started off a little slow last year at the beginning of the season, and people were trying to make it a bigger deal. Oh, is he gonna kind of struggle throughout the year, whatever it may be? And it was the same thing. He lit up the preseason. Him and the bench kind of shot poorly at the beginning of the season and really figured it out. So it was a bad shooting performance from him, and he'll bounce back. I mean, we saw what he can do over the course of last year. I think he was one of the most impactful bench players in the league last year. Obviously, he's a lights-out shooter, so he'll be just fine. I mean, when you got a team that's shooting 50% and 47.5% from deep, I mean, not everyone's going to have a great night. So, unfortunately, he carried that sword last night, but I'm not worried about it at all.
Talking with Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. Does a great job covering the Celtics for the website. Justin, Al Horford started last night. Played 26 minutes. Now, by all indications, Kristaps Porzingis is likely going to be out at least another couple months. So you have Horford starting in his place 26 minutes, Tillman with 18 minutes, Cornette with 19 minutes. Do you feel like that's their kind of general plan? Like, I know Horford to start, but Tillman and Cornette kind of splitting up some minutes. Do you think that was more of a Knicks matchup thing, or is that kind of what they're going to do regularly in Porzingis' absence?
Yeah, time will tell. Kind of lean it'll be more of a matchup thing. Like, that's what we saw in the postseason when Kristaps Porzingis was out. They really went on a matchup basis. But it kind of changes things in the regular season, right? Like, in the postseason, of course, you're going to shorten the rotation. In the regular season, you can go a little deeper into the rotation. So the Celtics and Joe Mazzulla understand how important it is to keep Al Horford fresh if they want to get back to the top of the mountain. And he's 38 years old and just averaged 30 minutes per game across a 19-game postseason. So as much as, you know, Father Time hasn't caught up to Al Horford, you're still going to be cautious of those minutes. So time will tell. I don't really have a great answer on that right now, but I can definitely see them both getting minutes together during the regular season because they have to keep him fresh. And really, I thought both of those guys did their job last night. Obviously, Al was as steady as he can be, but even Cornette and Tillman, I thought they were great. I wish a couple of those threes went down from Tillman. That's something I'm waiting to see. It was one of the developments, I thought one of the more interesting developments in preseason when he was knocking down those threes, because if he can be a floor spacer for this team, it just opens up so much more. So we'll see what happens with that. He's working at that in practice, obviously showed some signs of it. But I don't really have a great answer to that question just because, you know, we don't really know. I mean, I think we can see more of them two together, but time will tell.
All right, Justin, before you get out of here, clearly we believe that whoever's in the West gives the better chance of a challenge at the Celtics. Give me two teams in the West that you believe would cause problems for the Celtics in the playoffs.
I think obviously Denver, and I know they've gotten worse every year since they've won the title, but they beat the Celtics twice last year. They're the only team that beat the Celtics twice last year. So I look at Denver. I also look at Oklahoma City, and I don't know if they'd give the Celtics problems in the finals, only because it kind of looks like the 2022 season when the Celtics were the young team and they played the Warriors and the Celtics weren't ready. And the Warriors were the team that had been there and done that. It would just be kind of a role reversal in this sense if it's the Thunder and the Celtics, where the Celtics are now the team that has been there and done that, where OKC hasn't broken through yet, hasn't been to that pinnacle. So I would say those two, and really Denver, and time will tell with them too. It's just, how do they respond? Another big loss in KCP. They've just continued to lose these key role players from that championship team. So I'll be interested to see them. They're relying on a lot of their young guys to step up, and we'll see how that plays out. But obviously they got the best player in the world with Nikola Jokic, so that gives them a chance to compete regardless.
All right. He is Justin Turpin of WEEI.com, covers the Celtics for them, does a terrific job. Also co-host of the Slammed Pod, which if you haven't checked out, make sure you do. Great Celtics content on that. Justin, appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for sharing your insight.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, fellas.
You got it. I love the both of you, but you guys probably have one of the greenest draws right now. I'm going to count how many times you are willing to be anything critical of the team this year.
Let's be, if we're correct, though, is it really being a homer? Like I said last year, they're going to win the NBA Finals. I was correct. Does that
no, mean no, I'm no, no, no. I'm just saying, like, can right. you notice something like would either of you like gone after the Peyton Pritchard 1 for 10?
I mean,
like
I would have asked him eventually, but I kind of agree with him.
Would have been your 38th question.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. Pritchard was great shooting in the preseason too.
Well, so. that's like taking a pre-SAT.
No, but I think with shooting, I mean, shooting is a rhythm thing. So
yeah, well, it's a concern because I think. As the years continue on, you do give him the contract because you believe he's going to be part of your DNA moving forward. Same thing with Sam Hauser. I've talked about this here. Even last year, is one of those guys have to really be able to pop to be able to give you at least high single digits minutes per points per game. I'm not saying they're going to be the sixth man of the year, but there are going to be nights where Horford is just going to be like, you know, so... You know that the front court's not going to, you're not looking for Cornette to be your scorer. Tillman, you're still trying to figure that out, though when he was in Memphis, he did show flashes of that. But, you know, until Porzingis gets here, Horford is going to be, like, that's the thing. When Horford goes to the bench, when Porzingis gets here, he immediately is probably going to be the leading scorer off the bench. I would like to see at least one of those two guys develop some of that going now while they're going to get those additional minutes and those additional looks. That come playoff time, you're like, okay, we know that this guy can give us 10 in a game. This might be one of those games where he's going to be left open to be able to do that. Going 1 for 10, look, I will say it's one game, but 1 for 10 does kind of jump out at me. I would rather see like 2 for 7.
I think the guy to look at too for that role is probably more Hauser for me. And the reason I say is because he's a wing, he's a little bit bigger. You can put him in different matchups because you're right. At some point, Al Horford is not going to be the top man off the bench anymore. And I think Hauser, as much as I like Pritchard, I like Cornette, I like Tillman, I think Hauser is that guy that I think you look forward to, you know, obviously early part of this year, but really in future years is going to be that sixth man, that next guy off the bench. Because I think with him being more of a wing, bigger body, you can just play him in more matchups and play him in more situations.
Yeah, but
and
if
he's
already,
a better defender.
Yeah, but if you've also got 9 guys that are pretty, let's just call it, you have really 7 guys that can beat you on any given night. 7 guys, right? I put Horford in there, and this is also including Porzingis as well. Probably 6 guys who can beat you any given night, okay? All 5 starters and Horford. All of them can go off and win you a game. I don't know how necessary that would be unless you start getting into foul trouble with one of your big men or not even one of your superstars being off, right? Because what was that? There's like some kind of crazy stat when like Tatum and Brown both score 30 in a game. Like, I think the Celtics have only lost like 5 of those games over the last couple of years.
I know the stat you're talking. It's like they're, right. they were like, you know, 40-4 or something
right.
last
it's
year.
Like,
something
it's
stupid
almost,
like
it's
that.
It's like a really big guarantee. But I think the development of this team over the last couple of years, and this is because of Derek White being more of a scorer than you ever, look, you never imagined that Derek White would be that productive on the offensive end when you acquired him. Remember, you weren't here at the station, but at the time I said, hey, here's that guy that could probably sneak in 9 a game, and that's going to fill in some of the gaps for other guys who may be off that night. Now it's like, okay, this is one of the dudes that could also drop 40 if you're not careful. Jrue Holiday could turn around and do the same thing, even though he doesn't really design his game to do that. And if you leave Porzingis too wide open to do whatever he wants, it may not be a 40 game, but it may be one of those games where he's like 10 for 12 from the field and like 8 of 9 from the free throw line and has probably hit a couple of threes, close to 40.
And even Horford gives you like game 5 against Cleveland, he had 22 points.
Right, exactly.
Game 3 against Indiana at 23. So he'll give you almost like one game each playoff series where he has
right.
like 20
right.
points or something. You're like, oh, crap, that's Al Horford, right?
Right. So that's the only thing. It's not like, hey, I don't think that Hauser or Pritchard can do those things. It's just like if you want to go from great to greater, this is where the role players step out. And you, when teams look at you on film and they say, you know, damn, even when the subs come in, it's a problem. Like probably the last team I can remember like that where just so many people were coming in. You're like, damn, who's coming in next? Were those Piston teams that repeated back in like 89 and 90 or 88. I think it was, 89, 90, where it was just like, damn, the bench would be somebody else's starting team. It just takes a little bit more from Hauser and Pritchard, I think, to get to that point. And then, and before we get out of here, I do have to ask you this about November 6th. Well, you know what? Actually, it's in Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or. So I'll save it for that. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Okay, we'll do that next. It's KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Thanks for hanging out on your Wednesday evening.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI right now. Thank you so much for being here. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 2 minutes away from Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or. John, there's a fascinating showdown that's happening in sports television that it all makes a lot of sense and it gets interesting. Okay, first I have to preface it by saying, you know, of course, Woj left ESPN probably about a month ago, right?
How stressful and miserable do you think his job had to be that he said, you know what, I'll go deal with NIL in college athletics? That's what I want to do.
Well, what I'm about to tell you, I think, shines possibly a little more light of everything that's going on. So you remember that part of the issue was that Woj, as an ESPN employee, was not being featured on a Pat McAfee show, which is not an ESPN show, but a partnership with ESPN. And Shams was a weekly guest talking NBA on the Pat McAfee show. Now, there are some rumblings that, look, Woj was kind of like, well, you know, what's really going on here? My competitor is being used by one of the shows that the network runs. I want my life back. I'll go do NIL. It makes a little bit of sense if that's the way that it went, okay? So what happens after that? ESPN hires Shams to be as part of to take that job that Woj had. Well, guess what Pat McAfee sent out as a tweet today? Hey, I need an NBA experts for the program. Not every day, just someone to FaceTime periodically through the season. McAfee continues, I will pay because I pay everybody for their contributions to our show. Obviously, when licensing our show through ESPN, we thought it'd be easy to get NBA folks from the ESPN roster. That has not been the case. The ESPN NBA crew has been rather impossible to work with due to their daily scheduling during season. Afternoons are tough for the entire group.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and you and I know this, KJ. Like, when you have a radio show like that, even if it's simulcast on ESPN, you could pre-record a segment like in the morning with an NBA analyst if you really needed to. And if you look at ESPN's lineup, the amount of NBA people they have, I mean, I'd find it hard to believe.
Maybe more than NFL people.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe they couldn't find one regularly available. I mean, Perkins, Malika Andrews, Bobby Marks.
Afternoons are tough.
Like, all them. Like,
Shams. You now,
Mike
have to
Green,
ask, like, you now have to ask ESPN permission for Shams because Shams is now an ESPN employee. He wasn't before. Here's the other part of it, and this is what I think is really juicy. Who's in the middle of a contract negotiation right now, and the starting number was $1 million more than what McAfee was getting?
I don't know.
Stephen A. Smith. And what kind of ship, and which ship does he run mostly of all the sports?
Oh, NBA.
NBA. So now you're seeing kind of like a wow. Because for McAfee to take this to Twitter, keep in mind, this guy's been going like 4 for 4 in all these baseball games up against he's gotten executives allegedly knocked out. I mean, he's getting what he's won. He's gotten the money he's gotten. They curse regularly on the program and haven't flinched. I think the only thing that they've kind of adjusted was after he got drunk in Dublin with all of his crew, now they just send Pat to these games and the crew stays in Indianapolis. So, like, they're getting punished for having too much fun. Like, you guys are not going on the road with him because it's not Pat McAfee and the Pips. This is who we are really paying for. So you can feel some of the stress marks. Like, for McAfee to go, like, it's the second day of the NBA, and he's already saying, I need people.
Yeah, and I know his style is to be like public and out there about it, but yeah, it is a little surprising that just with all the NBA people ESPN has, they can't figure out a way for one
afternoons
of them.
Afternoons are kind of tough.
Like, with all of them, I mean, like, and I think about it, this is a program that has Aaron Rodgers on every week, Bill Belichick right. on every week. Like, they can't get one NBA person from ESPN on there. It, like, once, he didn't even say all the time, like, once or twice a month, they can't get that.
Well, as they're telling him after, that's kind of tough. And I don't profess to know what goes on in the walls, and I should probably be very careful how I go with this. I just think it's kind of funny now because it's like, hey, you came in with all this gump and all this moxie, and now you're asking for people. Because here's the other thing that I wonder. Is some just random guy, like, now Turpin would be a great guy. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, is ESPN just going to say, hey, we're just going to let any old guy you have on your show talk NBA be on our network? Like this is kind of like that, kind of like, I'm pulling him back in a little.
Yeah, you know what? They should have Justin Turpin on there. He deserves
well,
it.
I mean, apply. Well, that's the other part. Is, you
he'd
know,
be
like,
better than some of the people they do have on. But, yeah, point being, it's interesting that they were okay with a competitor coming on before, and
right?
now they don't want their own guy. It is a
because
little,
they hired the competitor. You
know, right, no, but it's an interesting kind of like, it's that whole relationship has been, I don't want to say tense per se, but it's been
strained.
A strained kind of interesting fit between the two parties.
I'm here for it.
Because remember ESPN did that like Barstool Van show and they did it for like one episode and canceled it? Remember? Do you remember that? That was like five or 6 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah. But, you
and
know,
like, McAfee's was a Barstool guy, you know.
Yeah, it's all very interesting how, like, it's all coming into the arena. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, 1 minute away from Would You Rather, More Likely To, Either Or. Let's go to Shane. Shane, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. Good evening to you, sir.
Hey, what's up, boys? Great to hear from you. Glad we're finally talking some Celtics here. You know, I was hoping, you know, we'd talk a little Celtics earlier in the show, but, you know, glad you guys got
wait,
to.
Wait,
you know,
hey, hang up on Shane real quick. Seriously, hang up on him real quick.
No, don't hang up on him.
No, because he's a good caller, but he does not do the rundown for the show. So, Shane, call back next hour. Just go ahead. Yeah, there you go.
I disagree with hanging
sometimes
up on
Shane. Sometimes you have to pull out the belt on things, you know? I mean, look, I love you, Shane. But, you know, once you went there, you know, I just kind of have to push off the cliff. We can talk again next hour if you want to. Ready to do this? Would you rather?
Yes.
Hit it! Yeah, you didn't think KJ had a little Eastern European in him, did you, huh?
Would you rather more likely to?
Uh-huh.
Either or, I ask of you. Would you rather more likely to?
What?
Either or, I ask of you.
All right, three questions. Would you rather more likely to happen? And either or. They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All righty. Kicking things off. Would you rather Jerod Mayo hire a new defensive coordinator next season or Brian Daboll come to the Patriots as offensive coordinator next year?
Go Daboll for me. And he's a guy that's been here. He's been an offensive coordinator a bunch of places. He helped develop Josh Allen as well. I'm a big Brian Daboll guy in general, so I would go with him.
Well, if the issue is the defense, then maybe I would be looking at another defensive coordinator. Let's see how things continue to develop with Alex Van Pelt and Jerod with Drake May. It hasn't been bad so far. There's been progress from week to week. If you continue to see that, then I think you probably say, let's stick with Van Pelt, unless Van Pelt wants to leave. But you might have to look at another defensive coordinator because you're a defensive head coach, and if the defense isn't there, it's the first thing I think you got to fix. Next.
More likely to happen, the Celtics are undefeated leading up to the November 6th game against the Golden State Warriors at the Garden. Or the Chiefs remain undefeated through Thanksgiving, which would be 11-0. Note, the Celtics play the Bucks at home in Game 4, and the Chiefs play at the Bills in Week 10.
I think the Celtics are more likely. The Celtics also play the Pacers, I think, next Wednesday as well. But it's just the Chiefs to go, what, another month and a half, or half-ish undefeated? I just don't know if I see them going that far.
You know, this may sound crazy, but the game that kind of is on my radar that worries me that the Celtics won't be undefeated getting to November 6th is the back-to-back in Charlotte playing back-to-back in Charlotte. I think it's like the 5th and 6th. So who rests on the 6th knowing that coming on the 4th, I think it is, when then that next game back at home is against Golden State. So I think the Chiefs may end up going 11-0, winning that game at Buffalo, and the Celtics may just go ahead and say, we're resting guys for the second game of a back-to-back. We've stayed in Charlotte for 3 days. Go run in there, guys. I think that I want to say 8-0 for the Celtics. It would be great. But that back-to-back with Charlotte makes me wonder if they rest a lot of guys getting ready for that November 6th game.
Yeah, and I think last year, was it in Atlanta, they lost like back-to-back games or something? You know, it's kind of a similar situation.
Next.
All righty. Let me set the scene for you here. You're on a cabin trip. It's you, Lil Nas X, Kim Kardashian. You realize you've forgotten your toothbrush. Having to brush your teeth immediately, each of them offer you their toothbrush. Whose toothbrush do you use? Either Lil Nas X or Kim Kardashian's.
So I feel like there's some joke here I'm not getting. So
well, use the toothbrush. You might get it.
Yeah, I'm just going to not brush my teeth then.
Use your finger.
It's either or.
No, I'm just going to have bad breath. I'm going to choose that bad breath and get made fun of.
Either or. I had to choose the imitation calamari over the mountain oysters last week.
Hey, don't hate the player, man. Hate the game.
You know what?
I'm having bad breath.
I might use Kim Kardashian's toothbrush. Here's why. Because I may be able to get some intimacy out of it at the end of the day. So I'll be like, hey, you know, this toothbrush, wonderful toothpaste you use. This is why your breath smells so good. Oh, you're so adorable. It can lead to some things. So that is Would You Rather, more likely to either or on KJ and Lions, continuing next here on WEEI. What happened with the Bruins last night? Oh, God.